How many of you love the Lord today? Amen. Now, next Sunday, we're going to do something special because our youth will be actually in charge of the service, and we're going to ask every one of you to wear your special sports team jersey. And then, as we did on last year, we're going to try to figure out, Larry James, don't say anything, we're trying to figure out who is the favorite team of Crossroads. So next Sunday will be, of course, Super Bowl Sunday, and we're going to be celebrating that, recognizing the Super Bowl Sunday. And so we will get to pick which is the favorite team of Crossroads once again. Amen. So next Sunday, wear your favorite jersey. I don't know which one is mine. I don't know. Whether it's Kansas City or, I don't know, Philadelphia. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Amen. All right, also, we were given a note today, asked that you pray for Deacon Melvin Pollard. He lost his brother, Brother Robert Pollard. He passed away on yesterday. Please pray for the family, and the announcements, I guess, will come at a later time. I was also given a note recognizing an event at the Central Elementary School in Madison Heights, so that's going to be February. I'm not sure, so whoever passed the note, I'm going to have to clarify on that. Amen? All right. So we've been talking about raising the standard, right? How do you do that? Looking further into the book of Philippians, I found some verses that will help us to reflect on what is God doing right now in our lives? What is God doing? Now, the challenge that we have is to understand how the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. That's our big challenge. We need to know, what is God doing in us right now? How is he working in us? And so the book of Philippians not only is where we find our verse that we are referring to when we talk about raising the standard, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, but we're going to also follow up with a couple of other sermons from the book of Philippians, just so we would know, how is God working in me? Did I just get saved and that's it? Or is there something being produced in my life that I need to pay attention to? So if you have your Bibles, turn with us today to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. It's for our scriptures. Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. This is Paul's prayer that he's praying. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thus ends the reading of God's word, and we're going to ask that you would pay attention to the scripture this morning as we talk about our great God at work. Our great God at work. You may be seated. Father, thank you again for blessing us to be in this holy place. And right now, we hallow our hearts and we ask that you would come into our lives and bless us in such a way that we might magnify you and glorify your name. And not just with the praise of our lips, but also, Lord, with the service of our lives. That we would be a blessing, God, that we indeed would reflect your character, who you are and what you mean to us. Bless us as only you can do. Strengthen us where we're weak. Build us up where we're torn down. And Lord, as always, we ask that you forgive our sins and help us that we might be able to be good stewards of your work. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is the need for God working in our lives? Many of us are shocked at the things that are happening in our nation, the level of violence, the horrific shootings and the hatred that is sweeping our country and even the world. It is as the national weather reflects the storms and all of the chaos that we're seeing, there seems to be destructive attitudes that destroys people's lives. What's going on in our world? Many would draw the conclusion and say, well, the devil is at work. And I want to ask a question. If the devil is at work, where is God? You forget that the devil owns nothing. As a matter of fact, all that he gets is through deception and through the destructive means that he runs into people's lives. That's all he can do. He's not the owner of anything, but the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to God. The earth, moon, and the stars belong to God. The sea and everything in it belongs to God. Everything is the Lord, and yet we see so much chaos going on in this world in which we live. We say we need a move of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we need to start paying attention to God at work. God is at work. His work is a great work. And not only do we need God to work in our world, but we need God to work in our lives. What is it that God can do with your life? What can he do with my life if he had full control? In this book of Philippians, we're discovering something about the Lord. Many have felt like, well, God saved me and now I'm on my way to heaven. But the question needs to be asked, what is God doing in your life right now? How is he shaping you and molding you into his likeness? And I want to tell you something. If you're not bearing fruit, if you're not getting better in your walk with God, then really you're spiritually dead. You're spiritually dead. You might claim salvation, but where's the fruit? Where is it, and how is it that we can boast of the magnificent power of God if there is no fruit in our lives? Paul tells us in this verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you. Notice the word good work. Everybody say good work. This is not just your ordinary run-of-the-mill making you better or self-improvement course. This is God Almighty working in your soul, working in your life, so that you one day will stand before God perfect and complete in him. And I tell you, that's good news. That's something good to know about. Amen? Do we need this work? Obviously, the answer is yes. We don't understand that some of the things that are happening in the schools and happening in our nation and happening in various places in our world where the violence is being displayed, we don't really understand and appreciate it could be you. It could be you and me committing these acts. Oh, we tell ourselves, I'd never do such a thing. I could never perform such an atrocious act. Are you sure? You don't know the limits of your depravity until you understand the grace of God. You don't know how bad you could be until you stop and realize how good God is to you. You've got to understand that it's not us that make ourselves. Psalms 100, he got it right when it says, it's you that made us and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. Whenever you give yourself credit, you're limiting God and you're saying, God, I can take it over from here, but you can't take anything over except in the wrong direction. Do you have some witnesses? There are people that say, I can do these things, but we can only do through Christ who strengthens us. Paul brought out something, the fact that we wrestle with this flesh and we struggle with doing the right thing. That seems to be the attitude of many who are striving to do what's right. Paul gives a description of this in Romans chapter 7. He says that when we want to do good, evil is at hand. And the good that we would do, we don't do. And the evil that we don't do or we don't want to do, it seems that that's what we do. He cries out in that state, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this death?
Who is going to help me? Who is going to show me the way? Then he cries out in verse 25. He said, oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to tell you that he's your Savior, but he's also your guide. You got to understand, it's not us. It's not our power. It's not our grace that we're living by. And if you're not living by grace, then you're already under the devil's territory. Are y'all here today? Someone preacher said, you know, we spend all of our lives killing ourselves trying to make a living. Notice I said it again. We spend all of our life killing ourselves trying to make a living, when what we ought to do is live for God. I'm telling you, he's a mighty God, isn't he? What is so amazing about grace is that we, the recipients, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Let me say that again. You as a recipient, you don't deserve the grace of God. But guess what? God loved you from the beginning, which meant that he loved you from the beginning before you did anything. God already said, I love you. And there's nothing you can do to change God's love for you. Nothing I can do to change it except receive it. Are y'all here today? Yes, it's amazing grace. We might boast and tell ourselves, I'm doing good. You ask people today, how you doing? I'm doing good. Well, give credit to where that good came from. Nothing in your flesh can produce any ounce of goodness. But when God starts working in you, when God starts moving in you, when God starts blessing you with the leadership of his Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, that's where the goodness comes from. Now, what I want to do in the next few minutes, what I want to do is to show you how this thing works. Because some people haven't gotten it yet. Some people haven't gotten it yet. They think, well, you know, it's me. I do the best I can. How you doing? I'm doing the best I can. If you're not doing good, you're doing the best you can. How you doing? I'm hanging in there. You ain't Tarzan. You're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you would be amazed at what God could do with your life. I'm telling you, you would get excited about it. You know, no, I'm concerned about this thing that people just come together to have church on Sunday morning to go through a routine. I don't want to go through any more routines. I want to receive the power from on high. I need God to bless me. We're living in dangerous territories. It ain't no time to play church now. It's time to get for real. It's time to let God know, I need you, Lord. I need your power. I need your grace. Can't make it without you. Yes, I'm telling you, it's time for us to be the church. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is that the only safety and security that we have in this world is that which God provides. I don't need bodyguards when I got somebody guarding my soul. I don't need an army to defend me when I got the Lord as my shepherd. I don't need all of these things of the world when God said he would supply all my need. What I'm telling you is, I want to see people get excited. I want to see people fall in love with Jesus. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when the Lord picked you up from the dirt that you were in? Now, I know some folks don't get excited about it because he didn't save you from much. See, folks that don't want to praise God, they don't acknowledge that, he just kind of got me together. But the song says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Maybe you weren't hanging out on the corner. Maybe you weren't partying on Saturday night. Maybe you weren't smoking and joking and drinking and thinking. Maybe that wasn't you. But somebody in here can say, Lord, you saved me, and I was messed up. I was tore up from the floor. I want to tell you that when God saved you, he's now doing something in your life. Oh, look at somebody, tell them, it's amazing, it's amazing, it's amazing. Now, for those of you that didn't do all the stuff that I did, you still needed saving. I preached a sermon one time, Good Folks in Hell. A lot of good folk, they came to church every Sunday, but never thought that they needed the blood. They never thought that they needed God's sanctifying power. Never thought that they would need the Lord to grab them and bring them into glory. Let me ask you a question. How in the world did the Israelites get to the promised land if God didn't deliver them? Some of them didn't even realize they were slaves. Just like some of you, you don't realize you're a sinner. But when God gets a hold of you, when God shows you something about yourself, but then he shows you about himself, I'm here to tell you that Isaiah was one who could say, I saw the Lord. Look at somebody and tell him, I saw the Lord. He said, when I saw God, I saw myself. I looked at God, I looked at myself. I saw his glory in the temple, I looked at myself. And I cried, woe is me. I am undone. You're not fit for heaven until God gets you fit. That's the whole point of my sermon, is to tell you that none of us can walk into glory unless you walk right in the glory. None but the righteous shall see God. Y'all ready for me to preach? So it is that we see a need for God's transforming work. Paul recognized this. He said that a believer, once the moment you get saved, you're not just automatically ushered into heaven. God rolls up his sleeve and begins to work with that clay one more time, shaping you into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might not look like it right now. May not seem like it right now, but he's still working on it. You'll have some witnesses. As we look at this subject today, we need to understand two great points. One, resting solely on the gift of Jesus Christ, that is the only source that we have for goodness. And by doing that, God wants to demonstrate his power in you. Notice what I said. He's not turning you into a religious person. He's turning you into his image. We lost that image, but now we're going to get it back because the Holy Spirit starts working on you. Are y'all still here? As my grandma said, you're going to walk like him. You're going to talk like him. You're going to pray like him. That's what Jesus did. He came first to be our example, then he got up on the cross to be our Savior and to die for our sins. So God's going to demonstrate his work. But the fact is, when you get to heaven, it's not a ceremony to show, oh, here comes William Coleman. You know, I used to be in Evans, now I'm over in Forest. Here comes William Coleman from somewhere in Virginia. He ain't going to say that. I'm going to look at who I am and who I am in Christ, and the glory of God is going to show up. What I long for more in my life is for less of me to show up and more of Jesus Christ. When that starts to happen, that's where the transforming work begins to take effect. How does God do this? Paul says, he that hath begun a good work in you. Notice it says a good work. God says a good work, which means a work of perfection. The author of everything is now coming down, condescending to work on you and me. Many would assume that God's work was finished when he created the universe. They would say, well, God's done that. No, he's not done yet, because he's still working on you. Point to yourself that he's still working on me. It's for his glory. And if it's for his glory, then God's going to be magnified. The Lord will be glorified in you. Haven't got there yet, but we're getting there. Everybody say, I'm getting there. Here's God's work in progress. Here's how the Savior works in our life. Paul brings it out in this verse so clearly. Here's a man that used to be a Pharisee. And the Pharisees believed that once they had gotten to understand the law, that they were perfect. And then they gave everybody else religious customs and things to live by. If you do this, if you eat on this day, not on that day, if you do this and that, you will get into heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that through Christ. And Paul says Christ is going to work on you. He's going to work in you to transform your life into God's likeness. That's the miracle. You're going to even be amazed when you get to heaven and say, man, I look just like Jesus. Now, how does that happen? I have to have what's known as confidence in God. Four basic things I'm going to bring out before I go to my seat. Four basic things that every child of God needs to have in order for them to get to heaven. First, you've got to have confidence that this work is of God and not of you. So I have to have confidence in God's power. Notice he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will complete it. He's going to do what? He's going to complete it. God's not just going to start it and then, like many contractors, come back in 3 weeks. No, no, no. Every day God's working on you. We need that work. If you look at your vehicle that you drive, you just keep driving it, it's going to break down. Many of us are at the place where we are because we've worn ourselves out. We've gotten ourselves into a corner. Now we don't really know which way to turn because we feel like I'm just tired. Is that you today? You need to have confidence that God is at work. Caleb, a man in the Bible, was with the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. God set all of them free, but many of them did not have the confidence that they needed in God to guide them. They had a visible cloud that went with them all the way to glory. And anytime they doubted God's presence, all they had to do was look up. And some of those stubborn knuckleheads, rather than looking up, they were more concerned about when we're going to get our next meal from. How are we going to make it from here? Fool, just look up. They lacked the confidence. Except for a few people. You see, the problem was many of them had gotten out of Egypt, but they had never gotten Egypt out of them. They couldn't get it out of their system. They were still worried about, well, man, back in slavery, we had cucumbers and we had leeks. All we got out here is this manna. And they complained. But Caleb had confidence in God. When they got to the borders of Canaan land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, when they got to the border of the land, people said, well, send some spies over there to where we can see what the land is all about. Caleb was one of those spies. Joshua was another one of those spies. Then they had 10 other folk. You know, the 10 other folk. Caleb came back and he said, let's go up right now. Let's go up at once because God is able. And the rest of the 10 says, we can't go up. They got giants over there. Well, you had giants in Egypt. And look at how God tore up those giants. You can always have giants in your life. You can always have giants of debt. You can always have giants of sickness. You can always have problems one after the other. But Caleb was saying, bring it on. I got a great big God on my side. I know he can work it out. Do I have some witnesses in here? He was confident. Are you confident as you face your trial? Well, I trusted God the other day and he didn't work things out the way I wanted. There's your problem right there. There's your problem right there. The way you want it. Come here, Grandma. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He's an on-time God. He may not work it out the way you want it, But you better believe God's going to work it out. Why? Because his reputation is on the line. Time after time, Moses would tell God, Lord, if you don't do it for them, do it for your name's sake. Don't let folks go and say that, well, God brought them out, but he couldn't bring them in. Let me tell you something. If God can get you out of sin, he can certainly get you into heaven. Talk to me up in here. Everybody say confidence. We are in an age now where people don't have confidence in anything. They don't trust the government. You sure don't trust the IRS. People don't trust their leaders. They don't trust each other. You don't trust the internet. You got good reason for that. But when you got security, you're not worried about worldly trust. You got the mighty God of glory walking and talking with you. Have some confidence. What I want you to do is hold your head up. Hold your head up high. I know life is hard. I know things are a struggle. But God is with you. God Almighty is on your side. And Paul goes further. He said, this same God who is in you is working on you. Be confident. Not only does he tell us to be confident in God's great work, but he also tells us that this work of God is so wonderful and so great that we move to another area of what I call just trusting him and knowing that he's in control. You've got to be committed to it. What does commitment mean? I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Some of y'all say, well, I'll do it if I feel like it. Y'all got quiet in here. What are you committed to? When you read this verse, you cannot help but understand that God Almighty is committed to you. He gave his best for you. What are you giving him? Obviously, if he's going to work on you, you've got to show up at the workplace. Oh, I done stepped on somebody's toes there. You can't always be making an appointment to go to the doctor and never get there. Are y'all still here? You've got to make a commitment. What I'm asking you today is to make a commitment because God made a commitment to you. It doesn't have to be a whole lot, but it has to be yourself. God committed to you when he said, he that hath begun the good work, having confidence in the very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, you are the object of his work. And by doing that, you're sacrificing yourself. I don't want to say, quit hopping off the altar. Some of y'all can get that in a minute. Every time the Lord says, kill this flesh, we jump off the altar. I can't give that up right now, God. I got to hold on to that one. I need that because I don't know, things might happen. I started to bring up lottery, but I'm not going to talk about lottery today. I'm not. I could bring up our need for all a whole lot of stuff. Pastor, I just need something to help me when I have problems. I just got to get my little drink. Some of y'all make a commitment at the early part of the year. I'm not going to talk about anybody this year, Lord. I'm going to behave myself. 2 weeks go by, and you just can't help yourself. Lord, I got to tell on somebody. Don't look around. You might incriminate yourself now. Why does God work on us? God works on us so that we might be perfectly like Jesus Christ. That there would be no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Yes, we admit that we do fail at times, but we don't harbor sin in our heart. Why is that? In Psalm 66, David said, if I harbor sin or iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. He was more concerned about God hearing him, God working in his life, because he really loved God. I want to ask you a question today. Do you seriously love God? If you seriously love God, you're going to be committed to him. He is your good work. Or you are his good work. You're the one that he's saying, now, if you let me kill this out of your life, I'll bring something else to life in you. He cannot resurrect you if you ain't dead yet. Some of y'all gonna get that later. You gotta die to that anger. Come on, somebody. You can't be flying off the handle every time something goes wrong. Are you kidding me? You represent Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Ghost tells you shut up, you shut it up. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm helping somebody. That's commitment. If you make a promise in your church, I'm talking about raising the standard. If you make a promise in your church, be committed to it. You may not be the best at it, but part of being good is to be present. Hello? Now I'm going to get at some of them church members online. Don't you think that you've been under COVID long enough? Come on down. We make excuses rather than being committed. When you needed a Savior, Jesus made no excuse about it. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane, but when the time came for him to get up on the cross, Jesus got up on that cross, died for you. But that's not all. That's not all. He was buried for you. Here it is, the Lord of glory owned everything and had to go into a borrowed tomb. But then if you're not going to stay there, you might as well borrow it. Come on, somebody. Amen. But on that third day, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. You can never experience resurrection without a full commitment that you're going to do it God's way. When you do it God's way, I don't know how and I don't know when, but this thing going to work out. Said, Lord, I'm committed. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you told me. I'm going to obey you. All God is asking of you, you cannot do it on your own power. All he wants you to do is just give up. Stop trying to do it your way. Let the Lord have his way. Commitment. You're the good work. You're not messed up. Let me just interject this in here, because some of y'all you've allowed people to talk you down from your blessing. Your spirit is low because you allowed people to feed your spirit. I ain't nothing but a nobody. That's not what the Bible talks about. I ain't gonna ever be anything in life. Well, somebody lied and it won't God. If you believe God, whatever little talent that you got, he can magnify. I'm speaking to somebody today because other people have spoken to you so long that your spirit is so depressed. You can barely lift your head up because of what others have said about you. Today I got some good news for you. The Lord loved you so much as if you were the only person on this planet. And regardless of what they said about you, their word does not count. This word does. This word says the Lord is your shepherd. But this word says the Lord is your light. This word says the Lord is your hope. And he is your strength. I want you to do something. I know this sounds crazy. Flex your muscles. Just, yeah. Yeah, man, I'm all right. There's nothing wrong with you except your need for God to work in your life. And when that happens, great things are going to take place. Moving on, not only do we need God's commitment, or we need the commitment to God, but we have to understand that we are being constructed by the Lord. God's building something. God's building something. And guess what? You don't have to go out here and try to copy somebody else in order for you to become what God wants you to be. Just like the snowflakes are different, your character your personality so fits in the plan of God that he says, no, I want to shape you the way that you need to be. When Michelangelo would work on any of his sculptures or any of his artwork, he never planned and said, well, you know what? I'm going to make this one like that one. He wanted each one to be unique and to bear his signature. God wants you to bear his holy signature. When people look at you, they say, oh, my God. I remember when they used to do this, and I remember when they used to say that. I remember when their character was this. But now look at them. They're walking with their shoulders square, they're walking with their head up, they're acting like they're somebody, and the truth is, you are somebody. Look at what's happening. God is working in you. And if God is working in you, that work will be perfect. He which hath begun, underline it, a good work. Make another confession. Say to yourself, I'm a good work. Say it again, I'm a good work. Now look at the person next to you and say, I'm a good work. You might not think so, but God says so. When we look at God's creation and all that he made, God never once says, oops. At the end of his creation, he gave a summary. The Lord said he looked out at all the things that he had made, and he said, it is very good. Now we have sin that's entered this world. God looks at this world and says, you know what? They're not understanding my plan. But in the end, when you're made to stand before the glory of God Almighty, God will once again say over his children, it's very good. The Holy Spirit will acknowledge, God, I worked on them. Father, I worked on them. Now they are very good. Jesus will acknowledge, they look just like me. They're very good. And the Father will smile and say, they're just like my image. Just what I wanted them to be. They're perfect. Did you not know that an artist would never sign his name to the canvas or put his initials into the marble until the work was done? Jesus Christ, in order for him to sign that work, you have to be complete. My prayer is that you will let him do it. Just let him do it. Let him have his perfect way. And then finally, the work will be completed. Completed by God. Isn't that something? Not a halfway work, not a half done, not that'll do. But it's done to the perfection of God's glory. Paul made this confession. He was telling the people at Galatia that he was so concerned about them falling away from God's grace and walking under the power of their own strength, doing for themselves. Paul acknowledged that you don't do this because of man, because I didn't get it from man. I got it from God. You don't squeeze yourself into the mold of what this world is talking about, self-determination. You better have some God determination. Self-help, you better have some God help. Self-strength, you better have some God strength. Why do I say that? Your strength is going to run out. But when you come to the fountain of God's mercy, when you come to the place of glory, when you come to the altar and pray and tell God, Lord, I need you, the Lord will make a way out of no way. You really need his power. And the good news is he's still working on you. I close with this. We used to sing the song in the Sunday school. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and how patient he must be. Tammy over there nodding. Do you remember that? But he's still working on me. That's our testimony as we get ready to walk out of here. God's still working on me. Others might look at you and say, well, you're not there yet. I know that. Paul even acknowledged in this very book that we're reading from, I know that. I have not attained. I've not reached that level. But this one thing I do, he said, I press forward. I press forward. I don't lean back because there's nothing behind me that I really need. God promised me the daily bread that I'm to have. And so what? I'm going to look to God to provide all of my need according to his riches and glory. But I can tell you what, tomorrow I'm going to be a little bit better. And the day after that, I'm going to be a little bit better. Why? Because of God's work. God's work that's taking place in my life right now. I want you to do something before you leave. Quit trying to work to make a living and just start living in Christ. Would you do that for me? Stop slaving and saying, oh, I need to get this and I need to get that. You need to get the Lord in place in your life and have God to work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Is God all right? Is God all right with you? Yes, he is. He's the lily of the valley, bright and morning star. God is the one that's working on you. You are under construction. I wanted to get a construction sign to put up here, but I couldn't find one. But what you need to recognize is when you walk out of here, you got a good contractor working on your life, and he's going to finish his work. Not only will he put you in a mansion, but you're going to be fit for that mansion. Hallelujah, somebody. God is your contractor, and you are the masterpiece. Now, ladies, I know y'all did this before you left home this morning. Some of us guys, we might do it. You looked in the mirror. And you didn't take your eyes off of that mirror until you had everything in place. Y'all quiet in here. Make sure that the hair was all right. Fellas, they just comb it, brush it or whatever, polish it up, whatever, they ain't got no hair. Then we're gone. But one day you will be in the mirror of glory. You will have the Holy Spirit looking back at you, making sure that you're ready for the presentation. Well, this is what's going to happen. The day that you depart from this world, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When you part from this world, you will be in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you're made complete. The Holy Spirit will usher you into glory before the throne room of God. And one thing only will matter. Not whether you got the right hairdo, the right makeup, or the right anything else. But are you complete in Christ? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb of God? Do you really have that relationship where you love him with all your heart? And if you do, that's all you need. That's really all you need. Father, we thank you for your glory and we thank you for your power. Thank you for teaching us today from your word that we're to be confident. We're to be committed to you. And Lord, it's you that's completing us, and it's you who's constructing us. Thank you for your mercy today. None of us deserve it, but thank God we got it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this world of confusion, that we would know who you are, but more importantly, that we would know who we are in Christ Jesus. Save that one that needs to be saved today. Deliver those that are burdened and have cares in their life. Bring them out through your strength and through your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to open the doors of the church if there be one. Our great God at work. And actually, we all stand while the choir sings. The invitation is given. Jesus said, whosoever will, Let him come. Those of you that are online, it's impossible for you to come in here, but you can write to us online. But before you even write to us, just pray a prayer. God is right where you are, and he will accept you if you will ask him. Pray that prayer and ask the Lord to come in. Doors of the church are open. Whosoever will, let him come.